What did she remind you of? What did she remind you of? That you have a mansion. Okay, thank you. We had a good revival. I just want to share with you that our Bush, just before he came, 4 days before he came, had cancer surgery. And he has cancer that has been returning. This is the second time he's had to have surgery. And he's going back to see specialists to try to find out what is and why it continues to return. He didn't want me to tell you that until now. So he really would appreciate your prayers and on his behalf. And you would never have known it, would you? He never had known it. He's a godly man. He really is. So he really inspired me in a lot of ways. But you know what revival is all about is this: get a perspective, a new perspective. Sometimes we just kind of lose our perspective because how busy we are, how many things we have. My wife never. I mean, Paul said that he was caught up in this vision or this revelation. Well, my wife had a dream the other night. She died and went to heaven. I said, well, was I there? And she said, well, no, yes. Yes, she said, that's how I knew it was a dream. So how much time do you spend thinking about heaven? How much time do you spend thinking about eternity? The amount of time you and I spend thinking about eternity will also determine how serious we are about keeping our lives in a way that we will be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. I know that we are busy. We think about life. We think about every aspect of it. But think back at every moment of time. How far back can you remember? How far back? 2 years old? Or whatever. Think how much time has passed now up until today and all those moments and all that time that has gone by. Think of all the living you have done, really, and all the challenges that you've had to face, many of them probably, and look and think about future. Future. You see, the Bible's concern is about your future. In fact, it says very clearly, we're to forget the things that are behind. We're to press on toward a mark. The future, that's what's important. I'm sure all of you would agree that time on earth in many, many different ways is full, it is demanding, and the truth is that it is only a very brief period of existence. Brief. I said brief. James 4:14 says that you say you're going to go to town tomorrow, you're going to do this or this or this, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, I will do this. How many times do you just go ahead in life and say, I'm going to do this and this and this and this? But then he says in chapter 4, verse 14, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Like a vapor. I remember my mom, and I've seen Marilyn, she has a tea kettle, and she gets that thing going, you know, and it starts spouting off at the mouth like I do every once in a while, and she just moves it off in the burner, and I mean, it is a matter of just a moment, and the steam stops coming out of the spout. Isn't that right? Now think about that, because that's what James is saying. James says you're just like a vapor. That's what life is in comparison to eternity. Okay, that's what it is. And so when you and I have this brief time on this earth compared to the longer segment of time that we have to look forward to, what doesn't it seem foolish that we spend so much time dealing with the past and the now rather than understand and keep our mind focused on that which is yet to come? In fact, the Bible says it this way. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Are you listening? Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. So, if I understand what Paul says, my mind ought to be set on heaven, eternity, things that are and will always be, not on the temporary. You see, the fact remains, our life is like as it is in this world. The amount of time and the element of measuring it, it's just a fragment of the whole. That's all your life is, a fragment of the whole. It really is. We would be foolish then, and many people are, because they're spending all their energy, all their effort, everything is on the now. How much time do you think and your mind is set on things that are eternal? Don't you realize that the more you set your mind on things that are temporary, the more distress, and fear, anxiety, and torment, and all the other elements that you and I deal with in life will be affecting your life? You have no control over the now. The Bible said, take no thought for tomorrow. Isn't that what Jesus said? You walk with me a few minutes. Just walk with me a few minutes and let's test the words of the Apostle Paul. In Philippians 1:21, Paul says, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, is it really a gain to die? I mean, we all live to live. We all live like we want to live. Do we really understand that it really is more profitable to you and me to die than it is to live another day? Do we really believe that? Really? I mean, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Really? Come on, Paul. You want me to believe that it's really better for me and I ought to prefer more than anything else is to go home and be with the Lord than wake up another day. Isn't that what he said? I think that's exactly what he said, and I think that's exactly what he means. To be absent from this body, according to 2 Corinthians, is to be present with the Lord. In fact, Paul goes on and says, for this is the very purpose why we were created. We were not created for the now. We're created for that which God is preparing for what is yet to come. That's why we were created. And Christ came to make it possible for you and I to not only have abundant life here, but to look forward and to live for the future. Don't set your mind on things that are down here temporary, because what you can see is all going to pass away someday. It's all going to pass away someday. Paul says in Colossians 1:5, hope is laid up for us in heaven. Now abides faith, hope, love. Faith is a substance of things that are, thank you, hoped for. So where is your hope? Well, according to Paul, our hope is fixed. It's up there. It's not down here. That's what he says. I believe that. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, he said, just as it is written, are you written? 1 Corinthians 2:9, things which eyes have not seen. Now, if you read and listened to 2 Corinthians 12, you see that Paul did not see what was there. He was caught up into paradise, but he didn't see it. He says what he could not express is what he heard. Nobody has seen it. Not even Paul was given the ability to see it with his physical eyes. So I don't know about all these people who claim they've seen it and written books on it. Well, I believe it's real. Why do I believe it's real? Not because of the books or the movies. I believe it's real because Paul says it's real. But what he heard, there are no words in human language that could clearly express what he heard. Not what he's seen, but what he heard. He goes on, he says, things which eyes have not seen, ears has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man. That's why he says inexpressible. You see, you and I can come up with all kinds of concepts and visions and ideas, and there's songs written about golden streets and all the other aspects, whether that's physical. Heaven is not going to be paved with gold. It's only trying to express to you how beautiful, how marvelous, how the subject matters and what you and I can appreciate and understand. It's going to be far beyond what you and I could even dream in or imagine heaven is going to be like. It's beautiful right now, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful out there right now? Huh? Isn't it? And what you see is temporary. If God could create such a beautiful world for your eyes to behold, what do you think heaven's going to be like? So you have no idea. You have no idea. There's no way you or I in our humanness or in this life or in this way could even begin to express or begin to understand what is going to be. He says it even has not entered the heart of man. There's no heart of man that's ever could comprehend what heaven is going to be like. He says and goes on, all that God has prepared for those who loved Him. Don't miss it. Don't sell your soul for a mess of pottage. Don't sell it for what this world has to offer. Because someday it's all going down the drain. It is. It's all going to go down the drain. It's all going to be burned up and pass away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. 1 John 3, 2 and 3 said, "Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not yet appeared as yet what we will be." Now, how do these people write all these books and tell us what they're going to and what they look like up there? It says we don't see it. Nobody has seen it. Nobody has heard it. It's inexpressible without human language, words that can explain what it's like. And it says here, and very clearly, it has not appeared as yet what we are even going to be like. Now, it gives us suggestions we're going to be like angels. And here it goes on and says, yet what we will be. We know, he said, we know that when He appears, we will be like Him. All right, so you want to explain to me right now what Jesus looks like? You want to tell me what He is and what He looks like and exactly what form He takes and whatever in His spiritual glorified state? You want to tell me what that's like? I'll tell you what it's like. If you saw Him right now, you'd die. His glory is so radiant that no eye has ever looked upon Him. The light of God is so brilliant and so radiant that in the physical element of your makeup right now, if you looked upon it, you would die. Nobody has seen God. Only the Son came to reveal Him to us. But nobody has seen it. So that means that for me to be able to look upon Jesus and look upon God, I'm going to have to be changed from the physical. Amen? I understand that, okay? So what is our hope? Well, I believe our hope is heaven, paradise, Abraham's bosom, Father's house, the New Jerusalem. It's all referred to in many different terms, but this one thing I know. I'm going to be with the Father, and I'm going to be with the Son. And I'm going to be with every person from the beginning of time, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. By fact, Jesus said, you and I will sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible says that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know what that means? That means Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive. They're spirit beings, but they're alive. They're alive. You understand that? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He is the God of Abraham, and He's the God of Isaac, and of Jacob, because He is the God of the living. That means Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive. So when you die, you don't die. To be absent from the body is simply to go into eternal existence, and you will be alive. You'll be alive. You'll be alive. You'll be in paradise. Remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross? What did He say? Tomorrow, next week, 40 months from now, 100 years, 1,000 years, million years from now. No, he said, what did he say? Today. Today. You will be with me in paradise. Amen. Where was Paul caught up to? Paradise. That's what he says. Okay? Wow. Is that exciting or not? What are you living for? Where's your hope? Is your hope in a better tomorrow or is your hope in heaven? And that's where your hope ought to be, isn't it? When you think about it and all the aspects of it, why is heaven true? Because I believe Paul experienced it, but I also believe my Lord told me that it's a fact. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. And if it weren't so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there ye may be also." And Thomas, of course, said, "Lord, we know not who you and where you are going." And Jesus said, "Thomas, if I've been so long with you, you don't understand. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." Twice Jesus said, place. He said, "I'll prepare a place." Isn't that what he said? A place. That means it's literal. It's real. There's something there waiting for it. Call it a mansion. Call it whatever you want to. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. So that where he is, and where is he? In heaven, on the right hand of God, then we may be also. Okay? I don't have to have a theological discussion or something in that nature because I really believe what the Bible says. I believe Paul saw or heard words that could not be expressed in his experience. He came back. I know he's referring to himself. He doesn't understand the whole process, but he was caught up into paradise. Okay? He heard inexpressible words. Words that he could not explain nor understand himself. But then he says, God has gone, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for a, I believe, a prepared people. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. If Jesus would come back right now, and the heavens would open and the archangels would begin to sing and the trumpets would begin to blow, and they're going to someday, where are you going? What is your hope? Where have you laid up your treasure? Jesus said, "Do not lay up your treasures on earth where moth and thieves and fly on break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Isn't that what he said? Eternity. Where rust and moth and thieves and whatever do not break through and steal. You see, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way. And has prepared us a dwelling place there. A preacher and a taxicab driver basically were in an accident together and both of them died. They got up to the gates and Peter met them there and preacher took the taxicab driver and took him over to this beautiful mansion. I mean, it was just unbelievable, beautifully, and told him that this is his dwelling place. And so the taxicab was just so happy and elated and so on, went into this beautiful mansion. And then later the preacher was taken over to this kind of a little shack house-like. And he got looking at his dwelling place and then looking over at the taxicab driver's dwelling place. And he couldn't understand what's going on here. He said, "Man, Peter," he said, "God, what's going on here? I preached your word. I was faithful to your word." And on and on and on and on. He said, "Why am I getting this little house, this little mansion, and he's getting this beautiful mansion?" And Peter said, "Well," he said, "when you were preaching, everybody was sleeping. But when that taxicab driver was driving, everybody was praying." uh, I trust to God that you and I are not asleep. And that when Jesus comes, He will not come upon us like those who are sleeping, because the world is at sleep. You have been made alive together with Christ. You are alive and you know what you have to look forward to. You do not live for this life, this world, and the things of this world. You're living for something that is far beyond your dreams, your imagination. Eyes have not heard, ears have not heard. No one, nothing. God has laid in store for you something that's going to blow your mind someday. It's going to blow our minds. We're going to rejoice forever. And if God can create a beautiful physical world that's going to pass away, what's heaven going to be like? I mean, come on, take sin out of this world. Just take sin out of it. Take complete awe. Cleanse the earth of all sin. What type of world would this one be? Wouldn't it be a beautiful world? It so will. So the rest of the story I'll be sharing with you next Lord's Day. Lord willing, Jesus doesn't come. Because He may come between now and next Lord's Day. You may not like my theory, but it's just a theory. But I think if I was the Lord and He established His blood covenant and called us together on the first day of the week to meet upon that day to renew our blood covenant with Him, if I was going to come back, I think I'd come back when my people are supposed to be renewing the blood covenant with me on the Lord's day. Maybe. Maybe. That doesn't mean I'm going to live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday like I don't know. But I mean, no. Think about it. I mean, think about it seriously. Because this is serious, isn't it? Isn't it? It really is. And God has prepared a place for every one of us. A place where there'll be no more of this world. It's going to be a beautiful place. An unbelievable place. In a place that you and I will be completely, totally at peace and rest and sharing in the period of eternity. If you're not a Christian, why not? Buddha can't promise you eternal life. I mean, how many people out there in the religions believe in reincarnation? That you die and you come back and you come back as some animal or some tree or whatever. And then you die and come back. They have seven stages they go through before you can reach the ultimate. You know that, don't you? Well, my Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. People don't die and then come back and tell us what they saw when they were dead. It's appointed that they die once. Once a person has died, they are dead. And then they are going and they have set their destination. Whether they're going to spend eternity with God or apart from God. Right? So you're making preparation. Because heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And my responsibility and our responsibility is to help people get prepared to meet their God. Because we will meet Him someday. We really will. May God help you, me, to encourage one another, to be there for one another. I want to see every one of you in heaven someday. It's not my goal. Paul talked to the Philippian church, and he says, I rejoice in my ministry that when I get done, I will see you in heaven, and that I had not labored in vain. My labor, our love, our commitment is to encourage you. Don't miss it. Jesus has prepared a place for you. Your name is on it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Let's stand together, and we're going to sing together this great song, when we what? When we all what? What? When we all get to heaven.